I'm just going to read my notes so that we don't get lost. Rights and responsibilities. That's that one. Let's see what God wants to say. One of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me through that time of worship and praise, and just an illustration. Can you see what's at the back of this? Anyone see what's at the back of it? I hope you say no. Because it's just dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. What can you see now?
Light.
You see, the light smothers out the darkness, doesn't it? When we come to Scripture, when we come to God's Word, sometimes we can think, as Christians, and those that are on a journey, those that are outside of what God is doing, we can see the complications in God's word. We think this is so difficult, yet the truth is, as Paul would say many times, and when you look through leaders in the New Testament, I preach Christ and him crucified. Some time ago, I think it was Michelle that said, when she was sharing her testimony about the things that she wanted out of life, she got to the realization that it was this: seek first the kingdom, then all this will be added to you. So I want to say to you afresh today, seek out the light and the light will shine in the darkness. If you concentrate, and it's not what I want to share, but my thoughts I want to share through worship. If you concentrate on the darkness will overcome you. If you concentrate on the light will overcome you. You'll be overshadowed by God's goodness. If you seek first the kingdom, then everything else will be added as well. And when we look at our rights and our responsibilities, there are certain things that we are called to do. But as we go through troubles, this portion of scripture was laid on my heart as Clive and Bernie was praying for me earlier, and it says this in 2 Corinthians 1:3. It says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. When you think about that word compassion, in some translations it's translated pity. It says, and Jesus had pity on them. And when you look at the word pity in the English, it's kind of like, well, you stubbed your toe, never mind, they're there. But compassion is actually a far bigger word. Compassion says when Christ sees you, he identifies with your pain. He says, I feel what you feel. So if I show compassion, or you show compassion, you are saying, I'm with you in this. And so it says here, the God of all compassion, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Why? I'm glad you answered. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So has God comforted you? Is God comforting you? Well, he's comforting you in your time of trouble so that you can be a comfort to someone else. So go back to the first thing I said. Let light shine in the darkness. Seek first the kingdom and all the rest will be added to you. So this morning, seek God's face. Say, Lord, shine upon the dark areas in my life. One of my all-time favorite prayers is, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Because I know who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I want to share a portion of scripture with you. And I hope that you will hear what God is saying, see what God is doing. It's a portion of scripture from 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 1. And I want to read it through, then I want to read it through a second time. And then just see what this portion of scripture says to you. One of the things you would have noticed if you haven't been taking notes, throughout the 12 years that God has given me the privilege of being able to stand here, I'm not what you would call in this world a political preacher. But you know what? One of the things, I was on the phone for about an hour with Mike ranting about what's going wrong in the world, and Mike quite patiently listened and every now and again went, hmm. One of the things that's really been striking me is, have you ever done this? Have you ever said, someone ought to do something about that? And then you cringe and go, no, Lord, not me. Someone else wants, Clive, you should do something about that. And when we hear stories, and we want to keep away from them, we want to keep away from what the world is saying about sexuality and gender. We want to keep away from that. We want to keep away from abortion because it's not a good subject. But you know what? When it comes to a nine-month-old baby, my goodness. Right, I'm not going to get political. Basically, what I'm saying is, if we seek first the kingdom, we look at his word, let his light shine on the darkness, he'll give us the words to say. He'll give us the inspiration. And it will be inspiration, as they say, not perspiration. God's given you all a gift. When I look at this portion of scripture, we have a leader here that's been called of God. And when you look through the New Testament, you'll see man after man and woman after woman that's been called to shepherd, to disciple, to illustrate God's discipline. And when we look through the ministry that talks about in Ephesians, it says, and Christ has given gifts to the church. And I heard this in my notes as I was reading and studying for this earlier this week. It made this statement. It says, it's sheep that produce sheep. Shepherds look after them. It's sheep that produce sheep. And when you listen to how Paul preaches, when you listen to how he ministers, he's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. He understands what it is to walk through troubled waters and to say, Lord, you're the anchor for my soul. So I want you to bear that in mind as you listen to what's being said. There's a title to this. It wasn't in the original, obviously. It's for us. It says, present weakness, resurrection life. Present weakness, resurrection life. We know who we are, what we're going through, but there's a better life to come. And this is just a few years, and then we're gone. There is an eternity. There is an inheritance for God's people. And when we come to church, in the sense of what I mean by church, a gathering, a corporate gathering of worship, it means you can encourage me and I can encourage you. It's verse 1. Therefore, since through God's... I won't get through this, so I apologize in advance, but I'm just going to read the scripture and then start from verse 1 and see what God says. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this mystery. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that's displayed in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Christ Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine in the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us to him and to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is receiving more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And we could close the scroll and say, thus saith the Lord. So often, I've been challenged this week. I'll get to the bit where it says, I don't preach self. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I was thinking during worship, Lord, if you hadn't caused me to preach as such, to minister, to be part of a awesome fellowship, what would I have done apart from spraying chemicals? And I thought to myself, I could actually preach myself. And I could earn lots of money being a motivational speaker because I could find out what makes you tick and make you tick. And then you'll give me lots of money and I'll earn thousands of pounds on each night because there'll be thousands of people coming out to hear how good they are. And that's what motivational speakers do. That's what preachers in this day were doing. They were giving the people what their itching ears wanted to hear. And time and time again, the Bible says, stop it. Don't do that. Preach Christ and him crucified. So we can see churches that have thousands upon thousands of people and they're preaching themselves. And yet you can see churches who have a few in number, maybe 10, 15, and they're preaching the word, and yet it doesn't work. You think, God, what's doing? What are you doing? Sometimes darkness is shining in darkness, but in that small gathering, light is shining in light. So what I'm trying to say there is, for us, a time is coming where God is really going to challenge his people. Do you trust me? Do you believe that I can do this? If you're walking in darkness, are you willing to stop, turn around, repent, and walk towards the light? Are you willing to speak the truth in season and out of season? Even though you're hard-pressed and perplexed, I'm still with you because there's an eternal perspective. I believe if we gather around people, churches, individuals that will preach the truth, then that scripture that is true will come to fruition. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the more we know of him, the more truth we'll have. If you want to seek something, if you want to know where God wants to take you, seek first the kingdom. Seek his face, let his light shine in the darkness, and the darkness will flee. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Right, our scripture for today, for these few moments that we have. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. There is a mercy that God has given us. There is something, mercy and favor, the same word. God has given us favor. It's undeserved. Now about what God is saying in us. In 1 Timothy 1:3, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, Paul says, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. When we do something that's contrary to God's word, it's unbelief and it's ignorance, Paul says, not me. He says, you know, I'm doing this, I know I shouldn't do it. And Paul, we can look at Paul's life, and if you didn't read scripture and you didn't understand who he was as Saul, you won't fully understand who he is as Paul, and you won't fully appreciate what he's saying. When he says something, he's not saying, I've got it right, you've got it wrong. He's saying, I've been called to shepherd this flock. And this is the church in Corinth he's talking to here. I've been called to speak the truth. But listen, I'm the worst of sinners, he says. I am a blasphemer. God got hold of me and he changed my life. In 1 Timothy 1:16, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, favor. Favor is undeserved, unmerited, unearned. But what you have to do with favor is receive it. So if you want to give me £100, I will receive it. But I haven't earned it. If you just give it because you think that I need a new pair of shoes, then I haven't earned that, have I? I don't. You just had a quick look just in case, didn't you? Because she was going to buy me a pair. That's God's speaking already. But that's undeserved, isn't it? That I haven't earned it. That's what favor is. Paul understood that the grace that was upon his life wasn't earned. He understood, he could see his old life mirrored in the face of Christ. The law is there not to keep us bound, but to show us the grace of God. And Paul understood this. He understood there was a mercy. He says, God's mercy, we have this mystery in our hearts. What was the mystery? The mystery was the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a mystery. There were people who couldn't see the truth because the truth was blinding them. They was looking so much in the darkness. They were blinded by the darkness. If you think about this, if there's an explosion in a coal mine and they're trapped and everyone's blinded, but one person's blinded by the explosion. When the light shines, everyone else can see the light by that one person that's blinded. And what Paul is saying is that the enemy has blinded our eyes to the gospel. And there's a veil that's been put over it, goes on to say in this portion of scripture, there's a veil. And even though we are Christians, we are Christ-like, we're going from glory to glory, there's a journey. Paul understood what it was. He said himself, didn't he? The things I want to do, I find so hard. The things I should do. And the things I shouldn't do, I find so easy. So he says, I find this at work in my life. There's a war waging. Well, that's light and darkness. Let light shine in the darkness, and the light will overcome it. So this is a portion of scripture that I hope will just bless you as you look at it for yourselves. In the Psalms, in Psalm 18:45, they all lose heart. And they come trembling from the strongholds because the enemy is so vast. But it goes on to say in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Do you feel weak? Well, put your hope in God. Lord, I can't do this. But you said you'll never leave me or forsake me. This is why it's important in this day and age that we know the truth and let the truth set us free. The enemy will point at you and he will shine his darkness upon the light that you thought you had. The Bible says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Lift it out of the darkness. Let God's light shine. Don't lose heart. For those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly it's tough, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. This confirms what Paul is saying in this portion of scripture, that we're growing older, aren't we? We're getting more grey hairs. The things that I used to do, I can't do anymore. The things I used to be able to lift, I can't lift. And yet Paul is saying in this portion of scripture that we may be dying on the outside, but on the inside we're being renewed. God is doing a work on the inside of me and on the inside of you. So don't lose heart. In verse 2 it says this, rather we have renounced the secret and shame, our secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Now, when we start looking at God's word, it's so easy to get God's word to say exactly what we want it to say, isn't it? I'll use a classic one. Wives, obey your husbands. Thus saith the Lord. I'm going to leave it there because I like that bit. But it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let's put that scripture into perspective so I don't get the emails. If you look at the wife being the semicircle and the husband being a semicircle, just look at this for yourself if you don't trust me. When they come together as one, they make one. But as two separates, they're only half. So if the wife will say, I will submit to my husband, I will do the right thing for the greater good of the whole. The husband will say, I will lay my life down for my wife and I will do the greater thing for the whole. It's the same thing said in a different way. It means she will lay her life down for him and he will lay his life down for her. So we get the point where we say, no, we'll do it your way. And she says, no, I'll do it your way. And you go, hallelujah, there is a miracle working God. I jest. Because I want to eat today. But what it doesn't mean that women are subservient to men. It means they make a decision to bless the greater good. And the husband says, I'm going to make a decision to bless the greater good. We need to handle the word of God correctly. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. We do not. This is a free gospel. I am blessed. God provides me with an income through his people so that I can do what I do. But I don't peddle this for money. I peddle this because God's called me. I don't peddle it. I bring it. In Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It will penetrate even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So when we correctly handle the word of God, Paul says here, don't bring deception. Don't distort the word of God. We can so easily just gloss over this portion of scripture. But it says if you handle the word of God correctly, it will do something. Have you ever been in a situation where you see someone, he may be a Buddhist, and nobody says anything? That's fine. That's good for you. What do? Someone else can be another ism. But then you say, I'm a Christian, and all hell breaks loose. Why is that? Because there's power in God's word. So we need to correctly handle it. We need to know who we are, not distort the truth. It says, on the contrary, by setting forth truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even though our gospel is veiled, and you get that picture of the veil that's over some people's eyes in 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were made dull, it says. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ can it be taken away. I'm actually going to read just a couple more lines and then leave it there and let Clive come back with Nigel. It says here in verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. It's veiled to those that are perishing. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. It's the power of God. Verse 4, the God of this age, some translations say the God of this world. There's only one God of this world, and there's only one Godhead. There's only one Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But the God of this age has blinded people. He's come to destroy. You know who the God of this age is? Who is he? Yeah, the devil, Satan. And we're living in an age where it sounds right, but it's not. We're living in an age where we was in home group last year or the year before, and we was talking about Satan. We were talking about the enemy and what he looks like. And Mike said to us as a group, he said, so give me the image of Satan in your mind, the enemy in your mind. And I can't remember what anyone else said. I can only remember what Tracy said. But what could have been said was, well, maybe he's red with horns and a big tail. And he has a three-pronged fork. And then Tracy said, he's probably the most handsome, well-educated, affluent man you'd ever want to meet. That's true, isn't it? That's revelation. Because when we think about the God of this age, we think of all the atrocities. We think of all the evilness, but we don't see Satan himself. But actually, he masks around as an angel of light. He looks perfect. He says the right thing to the right people who are blinded. There is a God of this age, and he's called Satan, and he is still trying to keep the veil upon people's faces. He's still trying to say every other religion that you will come across will be veiled by the word do. You need to do, you need to do, you need to do. You need to earn this, you need to pay for that. What happens when the veil is taken away is that Jesus says it's done. It's done. Everything has been accomplished. It's all nailed on the cross. So I encourage, if you come forward, Clive, I encourage you to read this portion of scripture in full, and I will perhaps carry on next week. But just read it and let God minister to you. As Clive's coming forward with Nigel and we sing our final hymn, take up our tithe and our offering. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Seek first the kingdom and then everything else will be added. Don't concentrate on your darkness. Let God's light shine on it. When God's light shines on your darkness, the darkness will become light. Because when we look at the world and it seems to get darker, we should rejoice. Why? I'll tell you. Because God's light is going to get brighter. There is a veil, and it's the law. It's I must do this and I must do that. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for God's church. We need to pray for this world of ours, that God will remove the veil, that people may see it. They may see the face of Christ. This message is about encouraging you to see what God has already done for you, not what you have to do for him. If you will receive what he has already done, salvation will be yours. The light of his glory will shine. And whenever the enemy tries to capture you in darkness, you shine God's light on him. Let's be a church that will be blessed so that we can be that blessing. Let's take his word. Let's believe that there's a ministry, a mystery, and that's the mystery of God's goodness, God's grace, and let's share it with others. Father, we thank you for your light shining in the darkness, we pray. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Help me to be all you've called me to be, to receive the gift of salvation that you've given me. Amen.